Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Always good to hook up with the Yammer, one of our all-time favorites on the bench. He runs the Pac-12 network in our eyes, and he is back on the mahogany waxing up on a pain-free Friday with a little Pac-12 action going on tonight and some great Pac-12 games this weekend. How you doing, Yammer?
Doing great. I feel like you might need to be my agent if that's the introduction that I'm going to get. I appreciate it.
Honestly, Yammer, you know you've been on the show for years, and you're one of the fan favorites. Tell him, Carver, how he doesn't believe me, apparently. Your boy, the Yammer.
One of the all-time greats.
All-time. He's got rock star status. Does he got a locker and a parking spot, doesn't he?
He deserves one.
You got a locker and a parking spot. Free drinks in the 19th hole. So, Yammer, first of all, I got to tell you, this kid, did you see the kid? I know you're watching the game. The kid from Colorado,
oh, yeah.
What was he doing in the end zone? Like, are you kidding me? Like, catch the ball, bro.
You know what's kind of wild about the whole situation is just kind of how those last couple plays, that sequence is wild. Because if he catches that ball, we're looking at 17-10 at the break.
Right.
How about the penalty that pushes him back 10 yards on third down? Mario Cristobal decided to accept the penalty as opposed to making him go on fourth down. Now, it pays off huge dividends because obviously it's a fourth and goal situation. They're probably kicking at that point. They'll take the 3 points, but the reality is they get another shot on third down, which surprised me. And then obviously you get the interception from Oregon. I mean, that goes to tell you, by the way, just how confident Mario Cristobal is in his defense. They've given up one touchdown in like 53 consecutive drives. That one TD actually came last week against Cal off of a turnover. So, and Justin Herbert, that was his first pick of the season. It's just kind of wild how things have played out. But Oregon right now looking like a dominant football team.
He might throw 500 yards tonight.
It's wild. You know, they came out of the gates, Herbert and this offense, and they were throwing a ton those opening couple drives, and then they kind of tailed back or pushed back a little bit. You've seen a heavy dose of the run game just before halftime, really, in that second quarter, previous, obviously, to that last sequence where, about a minute and 30 left on the clock, and they're marching downfield to get that last touchdown. But you're right. I mean, there's like 24, if I'm not mistaken, scouts in attendance. I think Bruce Feldman, who is obviously it's an FS1 game. I think Bruce said there's at least two GMs that are in attendance, maybe even three. So a lot of eyeballs on Herbert and Laviska Shenault on the other side, who I think is one of those fringe first-round picks.
How do you think Justin will do on Sundays?
I think he's going to be great. I think the interesting thing when you watch him play, you know, Brock Huard had said it, he's just so dependable. And in college football, you know, we're always looking for that guy that's got that flair and really can lead the team. The one thing that he does really well is really not make a whole lot of mistakes. And, you know, for all I know, you're doing a live radio show, so I'm sure you're not seeing every single play. But there's been some disappointing moments a year ago from this wide receiving group where it's like 50-some-odd drops. And even in this particular game against Colorado, you're seeing some drops. I mean, there's a drop touchdown pass. You saw it even in the opener, right, against Auburn in week number one. And I know people will focus in on that. The good news is there's a healthy contingent of wide receivers. Their top three guys that have been banged up, they made their debuts last week, including a freshman in Micah Pittman, who has looked the part in a game and now a half. From what we've seen, you can see the flair that he brings to the table. But I think Herbert, in my mind, is going to be an awesome Sunday quarterback. He just doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes out there. You know, there's not a lot of freelancing, but that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get a supreme pocket passer.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and this is just me knowing like how these guys think, these scouts and NFL executives and coaches, this guy looks just completely ripped. I mean, for a quarterback, like he has gotten from, you know, let's say the last 3 years, he has gotten pretty ripped. Like, his arms look like Rafael Nadal. I mean, the guy's just cut. He looks very physical to me and strong, as opposed to, like, 3 years ago. He really does look different. Like, he looks to me to be really a man amongst boys now playing at Outzen, and I think he's ready to go to the NFL. Let me ask you this question. So a guy asked me the other day, and I didn't think it was the craziest question I'd ever heard. We talked about it at some length that we doubted it would ever happen, but the question was, would Mike Leach go to Rutgers? And we deemed that a no. We felt like that's not a good job, even though it's in the Big Ten and everything else. We felt that he's got a better situation in Pullman and in the Pac-12, and that they love him there, and he loves it there, and he's actually doing phenomenally well, frankly, for a school that, let's face it, what kid wants to go there compared to going to these other big monstrosity schools in the Pac-12? You know, it used to be like they'd be like a laughingstock school for the most part. Now they're a big-time program because of him.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job in Pullman, which is an awesome college town. Like you said, it doesn't have like the flair, the dramatics of Hollywood or even being in the Bay Area if you're Stanford or Cal. It is a different vibe in Pullman, there's no doubt, but it's a fan base that is. We were actually just up there for the UCLA Washington State game of Pac-12 Network, and obviously that didn't go in their favor. Rutgers, I don't know, is a good fit. And for all you know me, I'm actually a Jersey kid and know that area. Mike thrives in environments like Pullman, for example, where it's a little bit more remote. I actually think being closer to a city like New York, for example, or just being in the Northeast in general, like that's not Leach's speed. I don't think that'd be a great fit for him. And the reality is, I think what he has built in Pullman is pretty significant. Like you said, I mean, that's not the easiest place to go and win. And it's now gotten to the point where you're kind of expecting them to compete in that Pac-12 North. Now they're undergoing, I think, maybe the biggest storyline that we've had in the league, due to the fact that they were a contender at one point. It's back-to-back losses for them. Then the bye week, and obviously have a tough matchup against ASU and Herm Edwards' squad down in Tempe, but they've lost their defensive coordinator in Tracy Clays, and they've given up in these two conference games an average of 52.5 points. So I think for Leach right now, the focus is probably less on other jobs and more on, like, how the hell does he fix this situation?
I just watched that Colorado kid throw a pick, and it wasn't so much that it was a bat. It wasn't like his fault, really. It was deflected and picked off. But his decision-making of where he threw the ball into, like, double coverage, I mean, I feel like I'm watching, like, the kid's terrible. Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you're throwing right over the middle into double coverage. You're bound to get picked off. I think this quarterback for Colorado looks terrible tonight. Washington State, though, against Arizona State in Tempe, that's a great game. And answer this question for me, Yammer. Was that game, the UCLA game you saw, was that one of the wildest football games you've ever seen in your life?
It was as crazy a finish as I think. Look, I mean, it's what, the third biggest comeback in FBS history. In fact, UCLA a couple of years ago when Josh Rosen and company, they were down to A&M, they came back. Remember, that was a huge comeback, but they're down 32 points halfway through that third quarter. You know, Pharrell, you know, we're doing our show post game after there was another game that was going on at the time. I said to our guys, I'm like, look, let's just go out to the set now in the third quarter and watch both games. You know, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. Like, Washington State was going to win that game, turnovers. And it goes back to what we talked about. You know, Mike Leach is an offensive guy, but he's going to stick to his guns. And in that game, he was not willing to run the football to kind of milk some clock. And then there's some turnovers, and it's a perfect storm, right? I mean, you're down 32. In order to come back UCLA, like, a lot of things need to fall into place. And unfortunately, from a Washington State perspective, they did. But it was the craziest finish I've ever seen.
Now, do you think, what do you think of the job Herm's doing? Like, it's unbelievable. And do you think they'll beat Washington State in Tempe?
Yeah, look, I mean, at home, Herm Edwards has been terrific. And I know there was a lot of people that were laughing at the decision from Ray Anderson, their athletic director, to go and hire him. But he has been awesome, not only in terms of the results on the field, but from a recruiting standpoint, he's been crushing it. I think in terms of winning, look, they're in the top 25 right now. Herm's got this NFL mindset, right, where he wants these games to be close. Obviously, he'd love blowouts, but he's looking at two freshmen on his offensive line, a true freshman quarterback as well. And, you know, they lose a fifth-year senior quarterback last year, Manny Wilkins, who's now playing Sunday ball. N'Keal Harry also now playing Sunday football. So the reality is, like, his personnel right now, at least offensively, isn't exactly filled with studs. And they got some good players, Brandon Ayuk, their wide receiver. But the point is, he's going to try to play a close game. In fact, 12 of his 18 games as the head coach, they've been decided by 7 points or less. He loves that. I think this is going to be a tough test because – Washington State's offense is pretty ridiculous. And if it does get into this shootout, I don't think they want to play that type of game. Danny Gonzalez, their defensive coordinator, is a stud, but I don't know if ASU right now is built to score 50 points. So they're going to have to keep this thing close. That said, I do like them at home in the desert.
What about Utah? No problems in Corvallis. And do you think they've righted the ship now at 4-1 and they'll start winning again?
Yeah, look, I was in Salt Lake City a week and change ago because they're coming off of the bye. And after that loss to SC, you talk to their head coach, Kyle Whittingham, you talk to their players, and they don't think they played a bad game against SC. And to be honest with you, I agree with him. And I shouldn't say not a bad game, right? Like, because there was turnovers, there was penalties. There were things that Utah doesn't typically do, but they weren't finishing off drives. And that's not what they do. They lost their running back in Zach Moss, who is a Sunday, future Sunday NFL player. And I would make a case as maybe the best running back in the country when he's healthy. But the performance that I saw in Salt Lake City against Washington State, that is a dominant football team. They played angry. I think they get the win in Corvallis, but there is some buzz right now and some juice with the Beavs offensively. I just look at Utah and they're so dominant on both sides of the football, and I think their quarterback, Tyler Huntley, doesn't get enough credit for how efficient he's been this year.
Mike Yam, a Pac-12 host with us back on the bench. So the game that Carver High's interested in is the Notre Dame-USC. As you know,
oh yeah,
Carver High, huge Irish fan, along with Pharrell. And, he wants to know if you think USC is going to be able to go to South Bend with those – they're wearing the Kelly Green unis tomorrow night. The odds are stacked against the Trojans.
Yeah, this is going to be an uphill battle for them. Number one, they haven't played great on the road so far this season. Obviously, Notre Dame's a top 10 team. They have the talent. I think the talent is, maybe on paper right now, you'd favor the Irish in a game like this. But SC goes into a game where they get their quarterback back in Keaton Slovis, who, by the way, is still their backup quarterback, but JT Daniels getting hurt in that opener. Slovis, though, is a true freshman who hasn't played in a couple weeks here. He got hurt early in the Utah game, didn't play in the next one, which was a loss in Seattle, and then they had the bye. So it's been a few weeks. He doesn't have a lot of experience, which I think makes it difficult. But the system that Graham Harrell runs, I think, makes it easier. And look, Notre Dame's secondary, they got some guys there, right? But I would make an argument that USC has the best wide receiving core in the entire country. They got three guys that are guaranteed Sunday players. Michael Pittman's an absolute monster. So I think competitively they can keep it close, but they got to show. I wouldn't pick them right now just based off of the fact that they haven't shown that they can win a tough road game. And if they do get this, then that would be their first one this season.
So what do you think now of the fact that, like, Arizona's playing the way they are? And
sure.
And how, you know, they're standing out, and that Stanford's still in it after they turned it around and won last week. And, you know, Cal was playing so great. Now they've dropped off. Washington's been, frankly, a huge disappointment, I think, the way they played. I mean, I've seen them look lousy. I saw them look good in one game a couple weeks ago. They played at home. But what do you think against USC? But what do you think of how the North and South are stacking up?
Yeah, it is. And you know this because you just mentioned a few teams. It is so unpredictable. And I know people are talking about, you know, how the Pac-12 is not a strong conference. I think top to bottom, the problem is the league's really even. And look, I talked to a bunch of coaches back in July. I talked to them throughout the course of the season. They all tell you the same thing. Teams 1 through 6, 7 or so can be any of their opponents. I mean, that's how tight this conference is. But you're right about Arizona. Can you imagine this, though, Pharrell? Week 0, they go to Hawaii. They lose that football game. Khalil Tate, if you remember, he's basically on that last play of the game running towards the end zone, gets stopped. Basically at the 1. Had he scored that touchdown, they go to overtime. Momentum's in Arizona's favor. We're arguably talking about a 5-0 football team, which is vastly different under Kevin Sumlin versus 4-1. The reality is I thought they'd be a 4-1 football team after the first 5 weeks because of the way the schedule played. It didn't We got to the number. We just didn't get there the way that I thought we would get there. Their schedule is going to get really difficult, and I think this is a tough game because Washington, to your point, has been a little up and down. They haven't had success in the state. 11 of their last 12 games right. in the state of Arizona have been losses. So it's going to be tough sledding, but I don't bet against a Chris Peterson team when his squad's coming off of a loss. Like, I just think they're going to make things difficult on Khalil Tate, and Arizona's defense hasn't shown. Like, they've been improved, but they're still having problems getting to the quarterback, and Jacob Eason struggled, I think, more so under pressure. I don't think Arizona can bring the heat.
I saw that UCLA choke at the end of that game against Arizona and missed the field goal. Can you even believe after they beat Washington State that they've actually gotten worse? How did that happen? Like, you'd think that that would turn their season around.
Yeah, you know, I thought it would be a difference maker for him as well, especially some confidence from Dorian Thompson-Robinson. But remember, he gets hurt, done playing that game. And, you know, I keep pointing to this, man. Football is a tough game. It's a rough, it's a physical game. And when you're as young, and it sounds like I'm making an excuse, but the reality is it's like 53 freshmen on that roster. I mean, they're the youngest football team in college football. And I just think that's really hard to overcome, despite the fact that Chip Kelly's there. I think people were looking for, like, this magic bullet when he got hired. You know, the reality is it takes time to build programs. You can't always fast-track it. And when you're that young, they're taking their lumps, man, and they're taking it in a rough way at this point. I think the growth of that program is just going to be a lot slower than people anticipated.
All right, Yammer, great stuff tonight, gearing us up for the weekend in the – Pac-12, fantastic having you back on the bench. Enjoy all the games this weekend, brother.
For sure, man. Always good to talk to you, bud.
All right, there he is, Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network with us, 855-212-4CBS.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.